me gifts. I was thinking about past Mother's Day. Carter made me a, I don't know, he was like five, I guess. He made me a necklace out of clothespins and thumbtacks. So, and I wore it to church. So, Ellison made me rainbow pancakes that weren't quite cooked and then watched me eat every bite. No, that was not today. It was not today. That was a few years ago, too. I'm not sure how much better her pancakes are now, though. But this is a day that we celebrate and we lift up moms. They get to tell us how great we are, make us feel good. Because sometimes we're not very good at that ourselves, at building ourselves up. Anybody have mom guilt? Know what mom guilt is? Deal with mom guilt? I think we all have at some point. I know I've thought, and I'm sure we all have, what was God thinking when he gave me these kids? I'm gonna mess them up. I never know what the right thing to say is. I never know the right thing to do. I don't react the right way. I'm not wise. I'm not patient. But we're so hard on ourselves, and we're so doubtful of our own capabilities. So I'm gonna share a couple stories. I have so many mom fail stories, but or at least what I felt like were mom fails. So to be fair, I'm just gonna give you one for each kid. But these are when they were little. As they get older, their mom fails were a little more serious. Or at least they remember how I traumatized them better. But maybe my mom fails will make you feel better about your own. When we brought Ellison home from the hospital 19 years ago, we were both babies. And she was so little. She was full term, but she was just 5 pounds, 2 ounces, and 17 inches long. She was tiny, and you know how newborns will lose weight at first. So by the time we took her home, she was only 4 pounds and 11 ounces. So she was like a tiny little baby doll. She didn't look real. None of her clothes fit because we thought we were going to have a normal size baby. So we didn't have anything. We had our moms ran out and bought preemie clothes, and somebody at the bank that I worked at showed up and brought preemie diapers so she would have something. I mean, we were expecting like at least, you know, 7 pound baby. So aside from being a brand new mom, and I was completely clueless, I had no idea what I was doing, my baby was extra tiny, and I thought I was going to break her. I was kind of scared of her. But I remember leaving the hospital and thinking, I mean, is this it? Y'all are just giving me this tiny little human, and okay, have a nice day. Take her home, keep her alive. And I'm an instructions kind of girl. Like, I like clear direction. But I felt like there should be some kind of training program or like a manual or something. Like, don't just hand me this kid. And so, anyway, we brought her home, and she cried constantly, like all the time. And it wasn't sweet little newborn cries. It was blood-curdling screams. Like, it was awful. And so I cried, too. And so we would cry together, and she would scream and she'd arch her back, and just nothing made her happy. I didn't know what to do. I thought she just didn't like me. And so she'd be up all night crying. We couldn't get her to calm down. She'd have a clean diaper. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't take a passy. So we walked and we rocked and we drove her around and we sang songs. And finally, because again, I was still a baby myself, I called my mama. And so here I'm grown, married, I have a baby, but I want my mama. So 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, my mom would come, and she lived like a good half hour away from us. This was not a short drive for her. But 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she'd come over to help, and it wasn't just like one time. It was like a lot. Like, I called my mom to come over and help a lot. So Brock would move out to the couch, and me and my mom and Ellison would be in the bed just trying to make it through the night. So being a mom doesn't stop when your kids grow up. Or when they move out, you're still needed. And I'm so thankful that, I mean, I'm 40 years old, and if I called my mom at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she would still come, and she would drive 4 hours this time. But moms, that we don't stop needing them. But anyway, Ellison, it turned out she didn't hate me. She just had some GI issues, and we got all that figured out. But so it wasn't a true mom fail, but at the time, you couldn't have told me that. I was convinced it was something I was doing, and I beat myself up a lot dealing with that. So, my Carter story, this was a mom fail. This was a real one. But everybody, before I tell you the story, just look at him. He's 16. He's healthy. He's all good. He's here. He made it. But the kids were around 2 and 5 years old, and we went on a weekend trip. And long story short, our first hotel was disgusting. And so we could not stay there. It was bad. And so we left that hotel, went to another one. When we got there, Brock was dealing with Expedia on the phone, so he stepped out of the room. He was trying to get our money back on the first hotel. And so I was going to get a quick shower, so I put Ellison and Carter on the bed, and I turned Elmo on TV. So while I'm in the shower, Ellison comes in the bathroom, and she says, "Mommy, there's a lady knocking at the door." And I said, "Do not open that door. You just yell at her and tell her that she has to wait a minute." So in a minute, she comes back, and she says, "Mommy, the lady says she has your little girl." And so Carter was 2. he's only wearing a diaper. And he had really long, beautiful black ringlets, like all the way down to his shoulders. And so I knew that the little girl that she had was Carter. so I grabbed a towel, and I run to the door. And there's a lady from the front desk, and she's holding my toddler. And she's looking at me like, I'm just disgusting. Like, I'm just dirt. And so I guess he got tired of Elmo, and he'd gone out the door. And I had no idea he could open that big, heavy hotel door. So, like, it never crossed my mind. And I didn't lock it because Brock was out and he was coming back. And so to this day, I still really don't think that he opened the door. I just can kind of see in my mind's eye Ellison opening the door and saying, "Carter, why don't you go for a walk?" Like, that's just what I picture happening. This is probably really what happened. But anyway, another hotel guest had found him wandering around the hall, and the lady at the front desk just happened to remember seeing us come in, so she knew who he belonged to. But that was a definite mom fail. I still get a stomach ache thinking about this in my family. My dad especially really gives me a hard time about this. But I still give myself a hard time about it. But I'm so thankful that God fills in the gaps of our parenting for us. When we do have those mom fail moments, He steps up and he fills in for us when he needs to. So maybe you haven't had your kid escape your hotel room, or maybe you're just not admitting to something like that. But we've all had some similar moments. We've done something. If you haven't, you haven't been a mom long enough. Just give it a day or two. But when we have these moments, we're harder on ourselves than anybody else is. We think that, God, what were you thinking, entrusting me with these tiny humans, or in my case, these mostly grown but not really adult yet humans. But we think we say the wrong thing, or we yell too much. We just don't know. They've got a situation, and we don't know how to deal with it. And so we beat ourselves up about it. But God knew what he was doing, and he had it planned out all along. He handpicked each of us for our babies. And to think that each of us, exactly how we are, our character, our flaws, our struggles, our strengths, our weaknesses, he specifically chose us for our specific kids. It wasn't random. Just like he specifically chose Mary. She was a young girl. She was just a teenager. But he specifically chose her to bear his own son because he knew that she would be strong enough to release him when the time was right. He specifically chose Jochebed to be Moses' mother. He knew that she would have the strength to do what was necessary to save his life and to position Moses exactly where he needed to be. I mean, can you imagine the strength it took to put her baby in a basket and send him floating down a river and just trust the Lord with him? I mean, I have a hard time sending my kid to school and just, you know, trusting the Lord. But he knew that she would have what it took to position Moses exactly where he needed to be for his calling. And he chose Sarah, even with her doubting, even after she laughed at the promise of God, he chose her to be the mother of a great nation. And he chose Hannah to mother Samuel, knowing she would have the strength to release him back to the Lord. He chose all of those women specifically to nurture and raise up what he had planted in their children. And he knew that these women would water the seed of anointing and promise in their children and then release them to do what God had planned for them. And he knew that you would nurture what he planted in your babies too. You were specifically chosen, handpicked. You don't know why he would trust you with these kids. You think you've got too many mom fails. You don't see what he sees in you. But he sees who he created you to be, who he called you to be. He chooses strong women, strong mothers to do hard things. And he makes us strong where we're weak. So if you're a mom, you are called. You have a calling on your life. Whatever else he may have called you to do or to be, you're called first to your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. That is what we're called to. We start them out on the way. Start them out on that right path. Whatever it is that God has planted in them, we're to water it, we're to nurture it and encourage it, we're to cause it to grow, and we're to saturate their lives with Jesus and plant his word deep in them. And sometimes a lot will say, well, their father's a spiritual leader, or they're going to learn at church, or I send them to a Christian school. And all that stuff is great, but it doesn't let us off the hook. Our kids are watching us as moms. They're watching their dad. Dads are vital. He's leading them. He's nurturing them. Absolutely. The church is important and vital in their life. They need it. But we're not off the hook. They're watching us moms. And a lot of times, we're the ones they're with all day long. So they're watching us worship. They're watching how we worship. They see when we make the word of God a priority. And if we're up early digging into it, they're seeing that. They watch us fight our battles on our knees. They watch when you face hardship, how you respond to that hardship, what you run to, who you cry out to. They see how you rest in God, how you trust and put your faith in him. You are responsible for their spiritual nurturing. That is your calling, to start them on their path. So when they're older, they continue on that way. Their path was established from infancy because you made sure that it was. And when they're older, their steps will be sure as they walk in what God has for them. Because you established them on that path when they were babies, they're going to know which way to go. Even if they get off the path, they're going to know it because it's established in them. It's planted in them because of what you nurtured intentionally in them. This verse, we've prayed over our daughter. This is Ellison's verse. They're going to hear his voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk in it. Because you've planted that and taught that and just nurtured it in them. And that's something that we don't really like to think about when we talk about the future and releasing our kids and their walk in their future paths. My girl being in Cleveland is hard. I want her close. I want her here. But God didn't give them to us for us to hang on to them. He gave them to us to prepare them to be released. And we don't want to think about them growing up. We don't want to think about releasing them anywhere, letting go. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to release them. We're called to nurture what God plants in them, to start them on their path, and then to release them into all that he has for them. Look with me at Psalm chapter 127, verses 3 through 5. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame. When they speak with their enemies at the city gate, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. What does an arrow do? It injures, it causes damage, it injures the enemy. Our children are arrows with the potential to do damage against the enemy. But not only that, not only are our children arrows, but you moms are warriors. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. You may think you're not a warrior, you're not a fighter. You might think that you don't know how or you don't have the authority to fight spiritual battles. But God gives us the supernatural power to be the warrior mom that we are called to be. We don't have that authority on our own. He confers on us his royal authority. I love that. He confers on us his royal authority. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit because he knows what is needed. And you say, while you're nurturing with your kids, you're nurturing and you're watering and you're encouraging and you're training, you're doing battle with the other hand. We already know moms have to multitask. We have to be good. We have to be masters at multitasking. And so you're training and you're developing things in your child, and you're doing battle with the enemy who wants to destroy them at the same time. The enemy knows that there are arrows in your hand. He wants to destroy them before they can be released. There's an anointing and a calling on the lives of our children. And we're to draw our bow back and release them into their future. And that scares the devil to death. He knows their potential. So when the enemy attacks, we have to be ready to do battle on their behalf right now while they're still under our protection. And as our children watch us fight for them, it's preparing them to fight. They're watching you clothe yourself with spiritual armor. They're watching you stand firm against the enemy. They see that when you have done all to stand, you stand. They watch you wield the sword of God's word. They see you using your shield of faith and extinguishing all the fiery darts of the enemy. They learn how to fight from you, so teach them well. You've started them on their path. You've drawn your bow back. And one day when you release it, they're going to deal a crippling blow to the kingdom of darkness. They're going to know how to fight spiritual battles because they watched you. They're going to know how to walk in their calling because they watched you. They're going to know how to dwell in the secret place because they watched you. They're going to know the word of God because they heard you declaring it over them again and again and again. Moms, you are warriors with a quiver full of anointed, called, dangerous to the kingdom of darkness arrows. So right now, guard them, nurture them, pray over them, train them, but be ready to release them, to let them go. Your bow needs to be drawn back. Be ready to release them to walk in the fullness of who God created them to be. We train and direct them. We put them on the right path. And when we release those arrows, they're going to follow that path because we aimed them well. Yes. And they're going to hit the target. So don't try to keep them in the quiver. I know that's tempting, but it's not what they were made for. They were made to be arrows. And moms, we were made, called, anointed, and handpicked to be warriors. God knew that you weren't perfect when he chose you. He knew you would mess up. He knew sometimes that you would yell too much or that you were going to say, you just needed a minute. Or sometimes you're going to be too tired to get down on the floor and play. He knew everything about you. And he still picked you to be their mama. It wasn't random. He picked you for your child. He equipped you with everything that you need. You are what your kids need. And it's time to stop listening to the enemy's lies. And it's time that some of us recognize all that God's placed in us and the calling that he has placed on us and to step into it. Like I said before, your children are your first calling. You have to nurture what's in them, set them on the right path, and pull your bow back. But that may not be all that you're called to. Your mama drew you back in the bow and released you too. There's nothing better for your kids' spiritual growth than to watch their mama living out her anointing and calling. So stop letting the enemy whisper in your ear that you're not good enough, or that you're a failure, or that you can't do it. Maybe he's telling you it's too late, you've already lost your kids. Or maybe he's telling you right now while I'm talking that I'm talking about somebody else, so I don't know you, that you're not a spiritual warrior. But he's a liar. If he wasn't a liar, I wouldn't be up here right now. But he's terrified that you're going to let go of your bowstring and launch your anointed and called arrows into the future. And it's going to mess up his plans. It's going to mess his stuff up. He's absolutely shaking in his boots that you're going to wake up and realize who you really are, that you are who God says you are, a daughter chosen, called, anointed, priceless, and gifted. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you become a force to be reckoned with. I want to say that again because I really want you to get that in your spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you become a force to be reckoned with. We've all heard the phrase mama bear. You ever thought what a spirit-filled mama bear would look like? I think that we need to find out. We need to get angry at the enemy when he's coming against our children and to put him in his place. And so it's time that we rise up and be the woman of God, the warrior that he has called us to be, and to release those arrows when it's time. Because you can't even imagine where they're going to land, what he has planned for them, how God's going to use them for his glory, or what he's got planned for us. If we'll look to him for our identity, live like who he's called us to be, as we're raising these kids and we're doing battle for them, I think that we'll all be amazed at where these arrows end up. Let's pray. God, right now I pray for every mother in this room, Lord, every woman in this room, that they would come to know who they are in you, the power and the authority that you have bestowed on them, Lord, that they would acknowledge your call on their life. God, we ask that you silence the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for our children. Lord, help us to raise them as spiritual warriors. The enemy looks at what you've placed in them and he shudders, God. Hold our babies, our arrows, in the palm of your hand. Lord, we aren't perfect, so we're asking that you fill in the gaps for us. And God, when the time is right, Lord, that you would give us the strength to release our arrows on the path that you've laid out for them, God. Lord, we thank you. If that's your prayer, if you want to walk in who God has called you to be, that you would be a contender for your children, I want you to come and pray with us up here. Maybe you want to pray and contend for your children right now in the altar and come.
Sing, may his faith. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Sing amen. And Lord, I pray blessing. I pray favor on these families. Lord God, that we would release those arrows, that we would recognize the calling that you've given to us and to moms this morning. I thank you for your word in this house. May your favor go before us, to our children and their children and their children. And let us walk that out. Let us live that out today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your spirit in this house. Thank you for what you are doing in this house. In Jesus' name.